It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to Gravel Notes with David Evans. That's me, and what a week we have had this week. Obviously, the intention was for this show to be coming to you from Australia, the final round of the World Rally Championship, but there is no Australia this year. I'm sure we've all read, we've all seen, we've all heard what's happened in Coffs Harbour and New South Wales and Queensland, of course, the whole east coast of Australia. Just catastrophic bushfires and just, you know, an absolutely shocking and terrible state of affairs down there. And fundamentally, I think, you know, like everybody else has said throughout the last week, that, you know, first and foremost, our thoughts have to go to the families who have lost people, lost homes, lost animals, lost everything. And at times through the last week, I found it quite difficult that, you know, we're talking about a sporting event, a round of the World Rally Championship, at a time when, as I say, you know, people have lost absolutely everything. It's an incredibly, incredibly difficult situation for an awful lot of people. On the other side, you know, we can't ignore the fact that it was round 14 of this year's FIA World Rally Championship. And that event, that Kennards Hire Rally Australia, cost millions to put on. You know, hundreds of people flew out to the event and were in Coffs Harbour. I didn't get there. Cancellation came about before I was due to leave, but a lot of people did. And you know, there was a lot of money spent getting down there. Of course, it's not about the money, it's about, you know, the bigger picture and the lives that were lost. And it has been a very difficult time for an awful lot of people. There's been criticism of various parties. You know, there's people that have said that they feel the FIA should have been on the ground sooner. They should have been making decisions. That's, you know, it's very easy to make these comments after the event. You know, would you really fly to every round of the championship a week early just in case something happens? Of course you wouldn't. My personal opinion is that the decision lay with Rally Australia officials. The organisers, they're the people who work and live in the New South Wales area. Okay, not all of them are from New South Wales. They come from across Australia to work on the event. But these are the people, it's their community. These are the ones who understand what a bushfire is, how it works, and the potential dangers. And for me, you know, there shouldn't really have been too much external pressure. Not that I'm saying there was, from the FIA or from the WRC promoter. As I pointed out in one of my columns, you know, we pitch up at these countries and these places for a week and we're gone. And right now, as I talk to you on Thursday, you know, we should have had shakedown this morning. But by Sunday afternoon, we'd all be packing up and leaving. And that would be it, gone for another year. Although obviously not the case with Australia, but we'll come to that. But this is where people live, you know, it's their lives, and we can't. For me, it would have been extremely difficult to justify arriving there and running a round of the World Rally Championship under those circumstances. As early as Wednesday or Thursday last week, so more than a week ago, we were all quite aware of the bushfires in New South Wales. I didn't know quite how quickly they were advancing and how close they were getting to Coffs Harbour. But as people started to arrive early for the event, they do that in Australia. Obviously, there's a time zone thing to get used to get over the jet lag. In Europe, expect drivers' crews to arrive Sunday or Monday. Australia, Argentina, Mexico, Chile, expect them to arrive Thursday or Friday. Various crews, various drivers, co-drivers were getting there. And I started to get word of just how bad it was with smoke around Coffs Harbour, you know, smoke coming into hotel rooms, to receptions, certainly all around the service park. There was a lot of smoke around there. And there was great concern immediately. Over the weekend, it got slightly worse as the fires progressed. And with these bushfires, you know, one thing I've learned about them is, obviously, like all fires, they are hugely dependent on wind direction. And by Monday, it was quite clear that this change of weather, this advancing low pressure, which was bringing stronger wind and higher temperatures, was a serious concern. And that's when we started to get this use of this word, catastrophic fires, and the potential route of the fire. And it came straight over Coffs Harbour through Tuesday with the change of wind direction. So suddenly, you know, it almost became impossible. We saw the organisers put together a reduced itinerary, which would have meant we had 51 miles or something like that instead of 210, or I can't remember the exact numbers. But there would be action, crucially, on all 3 days. But it wasn't meaningful action. You know, it wasn't really what we were all after. It was, you know, one day there was a whole load of action on the super specials. And then we were into there was one forest stage, Argent Sail Reverse, which we could use. As the fires progressed, who knew if that stage would actually be okay to use. Fundamentally, I still had this issue that, and you know, I'm not alone in having this issue, that we were going to take away rescue services from fires, from people's burning homes, from trying to stop this absolute disaster that was striking New South Wales. We were going to take people away, sit them at the side of a road and say, just in case something happens, can you be there waiting? Among those people would have been a fire crew. That, for me, fundamentally, we couldn't take one fire crew away from something that was far, far more important to be done in that area. Much as it pains me to say it, you know, because I love Rally Australia, I love the World Rally Championship, but every now and then we have to face the fact that actually we're not the biggest show in town. Last week in Australia, we were anything but the biggest show in town. And I'm not saying anybody disagreed with that. The real problem came, obviously, Tuesday they were supposed to start wrecking. Some of the stages they were supposed to be wrecking were burning. You know, that was never going to happen. Tuesday, Wednesday didn't happen. Again, the wind changed, as we all saw on the news, and the fires advanced north towards Queensland. Wednesday in Coffs Harbour, I was told if you'd landed into Coffs Harbour Airport on Wednesday afternoon, you'd have known nothing. Okay, you'd have flown over the fires in New South Wales. But as you came down to land in Coffs Harbour, there was nothing. There was blue skies. You drove into the town, into the sports stadium, where the service park is. Nothing. No smoke, blue skies. What's going on? Why are these people dismantling the service park? Was it the right call? Yes, of course it was. Because this weekend, potentially, the wind can change again and it can all come back. Okay, things didn't turn out quite as badly as they might have done on Tuesday. And there are people who would say, you know, we cried wolf too early, we called it off too early. Nonsense. Imagine going the other way and what could have happened. Absolute catastrophe. Whatever, we can all imagine the potential scenarios. So difficult as this whole decision was for them to take, and I totally sympathise with Rally Australia, it had to be taken. For me, it should have been taken earlier. I understand, I believe, from local people who contacted me in Coffs and in the area where the stages are, that they knew it was never going to happen. Potentially, could we have stopped more people flying down from Europe into what could have been, you know, quite a nasty situation? Yes, we could. So we should have done that. Maybe we have to learn from that in the future. I don't know. As I said, it's easy to be wise after the event. What I want to do now is pay tribute to Rally Australia. They're the ones that, are, you know, apart from the people who've lost their lives and their livestock in the fires, Rally Australia people, you know, their world turns around what should be happening right now. And I feel terribly, terribly sorry for Wayne Kenny, the clerk of the course, and his team, Chris Nixon, the brilliant media manager. You know, there's so many great, great people that work in that organisation and share the same passion and the same love of rallying in the World Rally Championship that we do. And they've lost their chance, you know. And what's worse is that they had everybody, they had everything there. You know, the service park was set up, it was ready to go. When they had the rug pulled quite rightly from underneath them. It doesn't make it any easier for those people. And as I say, I feel terribly sorry for them. And what really, really makes me even more sorry is the fact that I don't think we'll be back in Coffs Harbour for a lot of years now. The promoter has made it quite clear that Coffs Harbour isn't big enough. Population, 70,000 people. There's not a huge number there. There's not the huge centres of population to draw on from around the place. You know, you go, it's an hour's flight down to Sydney, it's an hour's flight up to Brisbane. It doesn't get the vast numbers of spectators that an Argentina or Portugal would get. I have to say, when I first went to Coffs in 2011, I think it was, I didn't like it. It was too small, didn't like the town, didn't get it, couldn't, I completely subscribe to the promoter's point of view then. But in the years that have followed, I actually really, really enjoyed my time there, and got to know the town, got to know the people, got to know the hotels that I stayed in, and loved it. And, you know, for me, it became one of the highlights of the year to fly down there and just be around these people in some of the best roads in the world, and in a great town. So I'm really sad to not be going back to Coffs Harbour. Obviously, Rally Australia is gone for next year. It's not on the calendar. We have Rally New Zealand in its place. As I again said in my column on autosport.com, it's quite tricky for me to, as much as I feel regret that we won't go back to Australia, we're going to New Zealand. That's a great thing. Auckland and, you know, the roads on the North Island are absolutely fantastic. We will have a fabulous time there, but it's still, it's tinged with sadness for me that we won't go back to Coffs Harbour. That's that. You know, we didn't have the final round of the championship that we were looking forward to. Oit Tanak had already sewn up the Drivers' Championship. Manufacturers' Championship, Toyota was 18 points behind and had a chance to edge Hyundai for its first World Championship. Never got that chance, of course. So, you know, it's funny because you feel sorry for Toyota that they didn't get the go to defend their championship, but really, really, really feel sorry for Hyundai, who celebrated a world championship, the first ever world championship for the Korean manufacturer, and they didn't really get a chance to do the job properly. You know, they're amongst all of this sadness and these shocking scenes of Rally Australia being cancelled, Hyundai was crowned as champions. So you've got to feel sorry for Andrea Adamo, team principal, motorsport director, and his team. But, you know, they've done it. Regardless of what happened in Australia, they have been the best performing team throughout the year. I think they've led the championship since Corsica. And, you know, consistently, they have been the ones to beat. Adamo's way of rotating his drivers, controversial at times, but actually it's proved to be superb and the key to a world championship. So congratulations, Andrea, and congratulations to the whole team. Good for you. You deserve it. Who else do I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for Hayden Padden. Desperate for the poor Kiwi. You know, he went to Finland, didn't get to do Finland because of a freak accident, and it was a freak accident. Anybody who watched the onboard from that can see that. And then came to Rally GB, you know, or not by no means is driving a Fiesta R5 Mark II a poison chalice, but it was a little bit because he didn't have experience of the car and he jumped in it and was expected to be right at the front of the field, even though it was his first WRC round since Australia last year. That wasn't ideal. And then, you know, it was all eyes on Australia. All of his hopes were pinned on this week in Coffs Harbour, and once again it's fallen down, and I feel terribly sorry. You know, I don't know another driver in the championship that works as hard as Padden works. Hayden wanted to stay on and do his bit. You know, we've seen the drivers and co-drivers latterly this week, they've stayed on and they've worked with the Rural Fire Service in New South Wales, and they've been around for the people. You know, they've signed autographs, they've given away the food that the teams aren't going to use this week. They've done their bit. Padden wanted to do that, but he had to go back to New Zealand because there was a potential for a drive day in New Zealand where he could work with his sponsors and give his sponsors something back. You know, he never stops working, that guy, and he deserves a chance for me. You know, as I say, nobody, I don't know anybody in the championship who puts as many hours and as much effort across the board. You know, all drivers keep fit, all drivers do the nutrition, all drivers do all of that stuff. But Padden, you know, I've seen him flat chat working with sponsors, with investors, with manufacturers, with tire suppliers, with everybody, and for him to get nothing out of it is, for me, really, really sad. He deserves another shot. Hopefully he'll get it. Let's see, watch this space, and let's see what he can get. For sure he deserves a break. You know, let's not forget, 3 years ago, you know, he'd won Rally Argentina. He was on top of the world. He was bossing that Hyundai team, wasn't he? You know, Thierry Neuville had gone down. Hayden Padden was the number one at Hyundai through 2016. And then it all went south. Padden didn't forget how to drive. He knows how to drive. Let's hope he gets another shot. Also, Craig Breen. You know, huge opportunity for Craig. And with the Hyundai team, that's gone. Potentially now, other news coming out of Australia. We hear today that Citroën's future in the World Rally Championship may not be as solid as we expect. There's certainly strong speculation that a decision is already made for Citroën to leave the championship. We've had no confirmation from that. I've tried again today to try and get some more confirmation, but there's nothing. It's very difficult to get in touch with any of the teams right now because some of them are travelling back from Australia. Toyota, for example, are away in Japan right now. And so, it's hard to get any kind of clarification on Citroën's position for next year. It's difficult to talk too much about the driver's market with that in mind. Because for sure, if Citroën goes, then Ogier's first port of call has to be Toyota. Much as we say that, you know, Toyota is a logical one, but we shouldn't discount M Sport. There is a good potential that Ogier could go back to M Sport. You never know. Presumably, if Citroën withdraws from WRC, then there is still an obligation, a contractual obligation for Citroën to pay a salary to Ogier for next year. And if that's the case, then, you know, potentially M Sport wouldn't need to find quite the same resource to bring him back to Cumbria that they did in 2017 and for 18. The one thing that is becoming reasonably clear now is that Elvin Evans will go to Toyota next year. My understanding is that he has agreed terms with them. He hasn't signed a contract. I spoke to Tommy Mäkinen this morning, and Tommy admitted that what had happened in Australia had disturbed negotiations in terms of drivers for next year. My feeling is probably they'd got a contract for Evans to sign in Australia, and they never got there. Really quite confident that Elvin will go, and that's exciting. You know, a guy that's worked at M Sport, driven every one of his WRC rounds in a Fiesta, it's a new world out there for Elvin. And Scott Martin is co-driver next year. Let's see. Driver market elsewhere. Hyundai is locked down. Citroën, if they go, it means Lappi's out. And suddenly, you know, we've got a whole bunch of drivers. Chris Meek, Yeri Matti, Craig Breen, Esa-Pekka Lappi, Mads Østberg, we shouldn't forget Mads, Andreas Mikkelsen. You know, there's a lot of guys potentially unemployed. I think there's plenty more to come from the driver market for the rest of this year. Let's see, I think in the next week, Tommy said this morning that he would like to get his driver lineup sorted by the end of next week. So let's see, there's some more talking to be done this week, but not really by me. I think I've said all I need to say in Gravel Notes this week. So I look forward to talking to you again next week when hopefully we will know more about the future of Citroën. And the future direction of a few more drivers. But for now, it's not goodbye from Coffs Harbour, because I'm not in Coffs Harbour, but it is goodbye to Coffs Harbour. So on a really sad note, we say goodbye, and I will catch you next week. Thanks for listening, and if you want to keep ahead of the curve in WRC, then don't forget to check out autosport.com. Read Motorsport News on Wednesday. Buy it, obviously. Buy it and read it. Don't just stand in WH Smith's and read it. That's bad. Bad people do that. Don't forget to buy it. Buy Autosport magazine. Keep an eye on autosport.com and obviously motorsport.com. And look out for Gravel Notes next week. Goodbye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.